Welcome back. You're listening to This Week. And before we move on to our next item, a warning that some listeners may find the detail discussed distressing. 3 years ago, a resident in a HSC nursing home whose identity is being protected and is being referred to as Emily was raped by a healthcare assistant known by the pseudonym Mr. Z. It happened at 4 a.m. when the healthcare assistant was working a night shift. Later that morning, Emily told a member of staff, which will begin the process that ultimately led to Mr. Z being jailed for 11 years for rape in July 2020. Emily died in 2021. Given the serious nature of this incident, the HSE commissioned a review by the National Independent Review Panel, also known as NIRP. Its findings, seen by RT News and reported on by our social affairs correspondent Alva Keneally this week, revealed that 9 other residents in the home had alleged incidents of sexual assault by the same Mr. Z, and that these were not followed up in accordance with HSE safeguarding policy. Those 9 other cases of alleged sexual assault were uncovered by a local safeguarding team made up of social workers. Well, we're joined now from our Limerick studio by the chief executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester. And thank you for joining us, Bernard Gloucester. How many cases of alleged assault in this nursing home are you aware of now?
Good afternoon, Tommy, and thanks for the opportunity to talk to you this afternoon. Can I start by addressing firstly the family of Emily in this case, and to restate what I said at the earlier point of the week in a statement, which is to say on behalf of the HSE, we owe them a sincere apology. There can be no excusing or explaining the absolute abhorrent experience that Emily had in the latter stages of her life, and I want to place that apology on the public record. And one of my senior officials is in touch with them over the weekend, and I do look forward at a time of their choosing to meeting them personally in the near future to convey that to them. And I also want to say that I'm very happy to talk about the issues arising out of this and in safeguarding across all adult services, but also to respect their wish that we would talk about the issues rather than Emily's personal attributes to avoid identification of her, and indeed to reduce the impact for them of reliving that dreadful experience. So just to put that in the record, and thank you for that. In the context of this home, there have been 2 significant pieces of work done already. One, which you refer to as the NIRP, and the other is a safeguarding report, which would essentially be a case review conducted by our safeguarding team and expert staff in that field. They've reviewed a number of cases, and I think it's important in understanding the numbers to understand there's 2 different lenses used in looking at a service like this. So the total service that we're talking about here is a nursing home. Since it opened, has had over 400 residents. After the incident with the Emily case, for which the conviction was secured, the safeguarding team scoped out a certain methodology for looking at that, and the NIRP, using that and its own information, also considered it. So there are various references to numbers being considered in this nursing home, and those numbers
Emily's
vary.
Case. Sorry to cut across you. We know of Emily's case. We know of 11 others. Is it possible so that there are more?
So this is exactly the point, and this is why I've asked for this additional piece of work to be done. To date, there have been consideration of numbers in excess of 10, in excess of 20, and I want to stress not all of these are considerations attributed to the one perpetrator or person causing concern. These are safeguarding concerns right across the spectrum. There are also considerations in respect of in excess of 30. But in my view and in my assessment of this, both of these reports were completed before I took up office, and there's very good work in them, and they point us to a lot of things we can do to improve. But fundamentally, I'm not satisfied that the basic question is answered. And so I've appointed a safeguarding expert from Northern Ireland, Jackie McElroy, reporting directly to me in 6 weeks from tomorrow week when she commences her work. to report back to me, and the single question that I have set for her essentially in respect of this nursing home is on the basis of all of the evidence available, the NERP report, the safeguarding report and any documents that she wishes to review. Is there a basis for looking back further, either to a specific period of time, a specific number of residents, or indeed a full look back review since the nursing home first opened?
How far back then do you think her work will have to go?
So she will look at the NERP report, she'll look at the safeguarding report, she will talk to relevant people, she will look at some of the records in the home, and she'll form a professional opinion as to whether or not there's a basis for looking back further. And that could be looking back to a period of time, looking back to a specific number of residents, looking back to the period of employment of the perpetrator, which was over 15 years, or whether that's a full look back for the entire home.
In the case of the local safeguarding team, which did uncover several cases, will you publish the findings of that local safeguarding team?
So a safeguarding report, Tommy, is a case investigation report, and case investigation reports by their nature can't be written for the purpose of publication. What I will do, and I want to be very clear about this, there is a court order in place which not only protects rightly any information leading to the identification of Emily, and so publication is very complex, but the order also prevents the publication of the identity of the nursing facility for that reason. Subject to dealing with that matter in the court and addressing the sentencing judge, and I have instructed senior counsel in that regard, subject to that, my intention is to publish several documents. The first is an appropriate summary report of the NERP. I appreciate Alva already obviously reported on it this week, but to actually put on the public record an appropriate summary of that. The second is
when
to take...
When do you think you'll be able to publish that summary?
If I can just address on the safeguarding report question that you asked me. On the safeguarding report, I'm happy to extract from that any contextual information or recommendations and publish those, but I want to be very clear. The safeguarding report of itself is a case management report, and it's not appropriate for it to be published. People are entitled to the protection of their identity, but I can assure you the public interest won't be disadvantaged in that. In relation to when it will be published, the matter very simply rests right now on whether or not we can engage with the court and address any concerns that might arise from the publication, because of course publication and discussion with individual families, which we are furthering this coming week, that of itself could lead to unintentional identification of the home. And this week we have a team of people who will be engaging with a number of families who were already engaged with after this incident, and the circumstances of their loved ones had also been reported to the Gardaí.
In relation to the summary though of that NERP report, when do you expect you will be publishing that?
As soon as I can deal with the matter of the court orders which remain from the time of the sentencing judge, and to be fair to the sentencing court, it's not their responsibility, but we simply want to make sure we don't unintentionally stray across the order. My senior counsel tells me he hopes to be in a position to deal with that matter within the coming 2 weeks. We're ready to publish the summary after that, to officially publish it, but in advance of that, we are engaged with a number of families and will be in the coming week on what is very complex but very necessary disclosure work in the spirit of disclosure. There can be no doubting the fact that there are a lot of people who, arising out of this incident and arising out of this issue, would experience very high levels of trauma. And our first duty is to them, and then our second duty is to correct and improve the safeguarding system for adults right across society, both those who live at home and those who are in our care.
That external safeguarding expert that you've appointed, Jackie McElroy, she will also be looking at wider safeguarding matters. Do you have concerns in relation to those wider safeguarding issues?
Yes, I do, in very simple terms. And so when she finishes the first term of reference in relation to the home, which is a 6-week task that I've agreed with her, and I believe she will finish it in 6 weeks, starting from tomorrow week, I've then given her a further period of 16 weeks to conduct a high-level review of our HSE safeguarding policies, our procedures and our structures, and to advise me on the possible options for the future of safeguarding. And that has to recognise the fact that we have safeguarding duties to people who live in the community. And then we have safeguarding duties to people who are either in our direct care or in care procured or provided by the state for them, be they older people or people with a disability. So it's a very broad remit. We have very excellent safeguarding staff working in the HSE. I want to be very clear about that and place that on record. But I don't believe our structures, no more than I do a lot of these structures or organisations of the HSE in the modern era, are fit for purpose for the type of work that we're charged with doing.
All right. Bernard Gloucester, CEO of the HSE, thank you for joining us on This Week. And coming up after the break, we discuss that attempted Russian rebellion.